Today's podcast was me connecting with beautiful Rochelle Hubbard. I really can't wait for you to listen to this. I'm so grateful that she has come into my life. She's an inspiration in terms of living her life in integrity, with authenticity, and empowering others to do the same. I know that so many of us, when we're on this initial journey to perhaps waking up to health, taking self-responsibility, it can seem like a very far step to completely disengage from the system. In other areas, maybe we're trapped in our job, or our kids are in mainstream school, but we'd like to homeschool them, and we just can't see the steps of how to get there. And that's what I find so inspiring about Rochelle. She has done that. She has the same background as me. She used to work in tax, a big four accountancy firm, and she has completely made her life one of sovereignty and freedom. So I think you'll find this really inspiring. So listen in, and as always, please do let me know what you think. Let's kick off. Really excited to have you on, because I am really grateful you've come into my life, Rochelle. Like, I didn't know how lacking in a community space I was. You know, sometimes you don't even realise that you're searching for something. And I certainly wasn't expecting to get what I got through my Healy, which was purely to get for homeopathic remedies. And then I ended up going into this amazing community of beautiful, like-minded women and men as well, don't be put off, but it is predominantly women. And you're really an inspiration, and I want to have you on to talk through what you've done with your life and how you live your life and how you've got there. And you live with such sovereignty and with freedom, and something that I'm still working towards doing. So I thought it'd be great to have you on and get the listeners to listen in and hear your story. So thank you, Rochelle. And would you mind briefly introducing yourself to people that are new to you?
Sure. Yeah. Hi. Yeah. Thanks for having me here. I'm really, really happy to be here. And yeah, it's amazing to hear from your mouth that you find me an inspiration, because I certainly find you an inspiration in terms of what you have created for yourself, you know, driven from, you know, that desire to do the right thing for your family. And so I'm really, yeah, really honored to hear you say that I'm an inspiration to you. So yeah, my name is Rochelle Hubbard, and I currently live in York. I do kind of consider myself like that lady from the movie or the book Chocolat that like moves with the wind. I kind of feel like if I'm rooted in one place for too long, it doesn't really feel like fully right for me. But my husband's kind of changing that about me a little bit. He's definitely the opposite to me in that regard. So yeah, I live with my husband and my two children, Caleb, who is 14, and Savannah, who is 10 in January, and our guinea pig, Albus, who's a house guinea pig. He runs around our house, and then Cardi, our cockapoo. So yeah, we live here together in York. And you know, if people ask me what I do, I always find that like a really interesting question these days. I worked with a coach myself a few years ago who, you know, really opened my eyes to a lot of ways in terms of talking about messaging your passion and messaging your mission. And, you know, that is a question that people get asked all the time, isn't it? Like, what do you do? It's like a standard question. And in the past, I would have said I'm a women's coach, but really, what does that mean? Like, what does it mean? It means nothing. So now, in answer to that question, what do I do and who am I? I always say that I believe that every woman deserves to have complete freedom and sovereignty in their lives, in every area of their lives. So the work that I do is always working towards that being the outcome, however that is meant to look for them. And that started for me, and the reason that freedom and sovereignty are the through line of my work is because of my own journey, right? Like, so many of us are doing the work that we are doing because it's the place that we have had to travel. It's the path that we have had to travel ourselves, and we become passionate about taking other people, women, on that journey. And it started for me around food, around nutrition. I suffered very badly from an eating disorder in my teens and my 20s, bulimia and anorexia. So, like, I kind of had this thing where I would limit, extremely limit the amount of calories I would eat a day. And if I overate over those calories, that's when the bulimia would kick in. So, I wasn't someone who would like binge biscuits. It was like, oh my goodness, I've eaten an extra like cracker. So it was really like debilitating in so many ways, and really fed by this need for being perfect, high achiever, looking, the way that men would desire you to look. And yeah, it was also a control thing from my childhood, very much like in terms of what was happening around me. But when I became pregnant with my first child, Caleb, I knew I had to stop. I knew I had to take care of him as a priority. And I did know how to eat well. I'd always eaten organic. I had always, I'd never been someone that had eaten processed foods. Like, I understood what it was to eat well. I just was, not taking care of myself in the way that I should. And after I had him, I then met a health coach myself, and she really opened my eyes to actually what it really is to nourish your body and to connect to your body as the miracle that it is. I remember one day I was holding Caleb, I breastfed both my children till they were 4, and he must have been 2. I was lying in bed with him and I was feeding him to sleep, and I was kind of looking at him and I was like, you're a miracle. Like, you're a literal miracle. Like, from a bit of fun in the bedroom to this living being that can function in all these multifaceted ways. And, of course, you do anything that you can for the health of your child. And it was like a thunderbolt hit me, like, my body is the same miracle. And it absolutely deserves the best of everything. And that drove me to train to become a health coach. So before that, very similarly to you, before I had my son, I actually worked for PricewaterhouseCoopers as a tax consultant.
Similarity there.
Oh,
I was a
I
tax, well, I was at your competitor Deloitte, but a
know.
tax consultant
Yeah.
too.
But it was funny, even there, I was like breaking away from the norm because I was the girl who would sit on the floor with like seven, you have access when you email your department, right? You can just type in the department name and you email like 700 people with that one email address. And I would always be emailing like, nobody's recycling, like this is the work, like, I'm like just up from a graduate. And what happened eventually after a year or so of me doing that, one of the partners who worked in the tax department got charged, I think not willingly, with the role of taking on sustainability and climate change offerings for our clients in terms of like looking at how they could work with employee engagement around that. And he said to his assistant, who's that girl that's always sending those emails? And so what I actually ended up doing in the end was working directly with the level that I was at. I wasn't even at a manager level, but I was day to day working directly with a partner and going to all these like really high level partner meetings. And I was the only person in his team and it ended up being amazing. And in some ways, I didn't really want to leave my job because it was really great towards the
No
end.
timesheets as well. Yeah, like that
Yeah.
was.
Yeah, exactly. And people always used to say to me, like, how do you, everyone's dressed in suits. How do you get away with wearing floaty skirts and big earrings? I'm like, well, just because, like, that's what I wear. It's interesting when you own yourself in a particular way, right? And this is going to be, I'm sure, part of the conversation. You hold yourself in a particular way. And I think we experienced this also over the last few years. If you have a belief system and a way of being and you own it, people don't question it. And or they're kind of nervous to question it, even if they're questioning it in their head. So anyway, but I did end up leaving PwC when I became a mother. And he kept my job open for 4 years, the partner that I worked for. And I was getting these payslips with like zero written at the bottom and the amount I would have made at the top, but which was hard when you weren't making any money. But I knew I wasn't going to go back. I hadn't sort of been brave enough to tell him yet. I trained to become a health coach. And I started working with women one-to-one, but also in a group setting. And then that grew. So looking at this theme of sovereignty and freedom, like I wanted to shout from the rooftops, you can be free. You can be free from the, do you swear on this podcast?
Yes.
Okay, fine. I'm not necessarily going to swear right now, but I was about to.
You know, I can just show you my t-shirt.
Oh, okay, great.
For people listening, it says, good mom, say bad words.
Good, okay, fine. But yeah, I just really wanted to stand on the rooftop, say, you don't have to deal with this anymore. You don't have to feel trapped in your body and, you know, trapped around food and constantly like, you know, questioning everything you're eating. And, you know, you can be free from the shit that society has put upon us around women and around food and our bodies. And so that's where my business started from. And then I started to learn through my dear friend Jessica McCleskey-Hood-Marley, who's actually who I bought my Healy from, so it's all coming full circle with that. But she taught me about cyclical energies of women, and again, that was a light bulb for me. I'm like, we're not men, we're not linear beings, and to live in a cyclical way is incredibly freeing, hugely liberating. You know, the amount of women, and me and myself, like, why 2 weeks ago was I so full of energy and, like, you know, could do everything and, you know, wasn't, like, desperate to eat chocolate every 5 seconds. I had more willpower, in inverted commas, because I don't really like that. But, like, you know, in the past, it was something that we would think. And yet now I, you know, I don't even want to get off the sofa and I'm so lazy. And I'm, you know, actually, when you learn that you're a cyclical being, not only do you learn it, but you know, you learn to value it and honor it. The freedom from that is immense. So I trained to become a moon mother and bring that into my work. I then very accidentally grew a business with a well-known essential oil company. Like, it was really, really accidental. But what I learned was that I, like you've just said, I really love working in community with women, and it's something that so many women, men who work for themselves as entrepreneurs in the wellness world, it's incredibly lonely. And whilst we don't want the structured kind of matrix hierarchical system of the corporate world, we do want something where we can work collectively. And it was something that I really, you know, if someone said to me I would have been involved in network marketing, like, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, I would have said, there's no way in this world. The whole thing makes me feel physically sick. And actually, I didn't even, like, I realize now I didn't really understand it. Again, right, how much of what we believe is just what we've been told? It's just conditioning. It's not a truly thought out opinion. Again, something I learned very much since 2020. So many of the things that I believed in, like, I was like, I haven't even thought about that. I just believed in it because someone told me it. Like, it was, you know, and that was very much the case for me with this. It was like, oh, it's evil and it's, you know, dirty and like an awful way to work. And actually, hands on my heart, it is one of the most beautiful, honorable, virtuous models in terms of making money that I have ever come across. And I mean, we can talk more about that if you want to, but it really opened my eyes, and it was incredibly, again, freeing for me that I could build a network, build a community, you know, be ambitious. Like, I've got no shame in the fact that I'm ambitious. Like, I am. I, you know, I've really learned to, like, go and flow with my feminine, but hold it within the structure of the masculine strategic part of me that I love, ambitious part of me that I love. So that, you know, my business grew to the point when within 16 months, my husband gave up his job. And we lived for 6 years, you know, totally free together as a family. At that point, our children were going to school still, the Steiner Waldorf school that they went to. Again, which was a choice of ours for our children. But yeah, 2020, we took them out of school. We now home educate them. And my work grew through 2020 into really becoming incredibly passionate about supporting more and more supporting women with financial sovereignty, as people I saw were becoming and were so beholden to the government, to employees, to family members. Whereas, 2020 and 2021 were probably one of the most prosperous times of my life. And yet I did no work, like in terms of sitting at my desk because of what I'd already built. And, we spent days building our kitchen garden, and I really threw myself into learning about more about growing food and foraging. And again, teaching women how to do that, because if we're not in control of our food source and we don't know how to be, we are screwed. And then beyond that, there was a little bit more nuance within that in terms of like the work that I did with that with women bizarrely led to me becoming, because of the collective of women I grew around the food and the sovereignty piece around money. We also very accidentally ended up reading this book called The Surrendered Wife,
I've
which
heard of
is,
that one.
yeah, it's a bit triggering, to be honest. But it's really, it's not like the, what's the word? It's not the wife that is, it's not the suppressed wife. It's the surrendered wife. And I do think it's true. Like so many women today have so strongly taken on the masculine energy that they have emasculated their men. And they are exhausted from trying to hold everything together. And actually, to the point where, like, even for example, let's say, for example, you can't send a man to the supermarket and say, get some milk. It's like, go to the supermarket, get the milk, choose this one on this shelf, in this packaging, in this color, right? It's like, where has the trust gone in them? Or you're in a car park. Like Josh will sometimes say to me, where shall I park? He used to, he doesn't anymore. Because now I'll say to him, wherever you think, like, what, why do I need to be in control of, I've brought that on myself, and I think a lot of women have, and it really affects our relationship. So one of the things I'm creating is a program called Surrender to Intimacy, because actually that's become a massive passion of mine. But then that then all very sort of fluidly led to me discovering Healy. And yeah, so now when I'm talking to people about what I do, the through line of my work is sovereignty and freedom. And I tell them how I weave in those different modalities. And the final piece is that I work with a quantum frequency device that supports us to come into the truest, most authentic version of ourselves to claim that sovereignty and to claim that freedom, as well as, of course, the microcurrent aspects of Healy, which are incredibly powerful for our physical and emotional health. So yeah, that's my intro.
Amazing. Yeah, no, I do not. And there's so much I want to unpack there, because it's such a journey to get to where you are. And I'm very thankful that our paths have crossed. And I resonate a lot with what you say, because on a different angle, I try and introduce homeopathy to help people realize that they can make their own health decisions and treat their own health, because I think that's often a first stepping stone. I did a quick Instagram live yesterday. So I was like, please stop messaging me with your health issues, because the reason I've done my course and put everything out there is so that you don't have to message me. Take your power back. You can do this yourself. And that is really the message that I just want to give to everyone. And I think so much throughout 2020, 2021, and what you were saying that really woke people up to, my God, I'm either trapped in my job, or do I have to do things to keep my job, or how am I going to get food? Like, we realize how reliant we were on the system, and or it showed us where we were still reliant. But I think out of that came some people then living more in fear, and then other people looking at life more positively. Like, I think, turning it on its head. And that's what I love about your energy as well. There's no fear mongering and doom and gloom. It's just completely positive. I feel not toxic positivity, but I just feel enlivened and free, and it makes me think I can do this. I love it. So
Interesting though, because for sure in parts of 2020 I was in full fear mode,
So
like
was I,
for
without
sure.
doubt. I think everyone was.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, some nights we Josh would come to bed early with all of us and we would just lie there with the children. They would be asleep and we'd be like, what's the point? Like, that's literally what it felt like. What is the point of doing anything? But what changed for me was, actually, no, like, I am a free being, and you can tell me I can't get on an airplane or, whatever, work for an employer ever again if I don't do this or that. But that it's my choice ultimately to completely ignore everything that you're laying down as a rule. I choose that. And I choose that actually, I am a free being completely in every regard. I remember one day I was lying on a beach during it all in Devon. And I just lay back and I was just so grateful that I knew that I had a choice. Whereas most people felt like they had no choice, that's not the truth, right? Everyone had a choice, and this was my choice to live on this island and never leave it ever again if that's what it took, Like, my choice was my health and my sovereignty. And from like that kind of point onwards, I was like, I just felt like the freest person in the world. And I was just like, those feelings of fear are what you use to destroy us, and you're not going to use them against me. So, yeah.
I got chills then because I felt very similar. I remember like feeling this despair of, oh my God, they're going to round us up later. What's where is it headed?
Yeah.
And then, ironically, fueled that, and I'd never felt more free as I did during COVID. I remember going to see when they finally allowed us to start going back to certain school things when my kids were in mainstream school. Ironically, my eldest daughter was doing a assembly on diversity and acceptance and inclusion, and I looked around the sea of everyone bar one person wearing a, like wasn't wearing a mask, me and one other person, and I thought, you know what, I have never felt like it was horrible because I was in that enclosed environment, but I thought I've never felt more full of my own integrity and doing what I feel free. If I can't ever leave this fucking country, so what? No one is forcing me off of it. Nothing is worth taking something I truly cannot believe in and putting something in my body I don't want there. And I was like, and I will never do that. And I felt, like you said, completely free.
Exactly.
And it's amazing when you feel
It
like that.
is. It is amazing. In some ways, I like kind of miss the days where like everyone else was wearing masks and I could just walk into the supermarket with my head held high because I was just like, I like to see like the metal in people, if that's the saying, and you could see like the people that weren't wearing the masks. I'm like, oh, now I don't know who you are.
I remember going to Sainsbury's and wanting to high five, instead of
Yeah.
walk away. Like, thank you for doing this with me. And do you know what? Something you said actually, I wrote down, you said about the belief system, when you have such a strong belief system. So, probably when it was like during all of that mask wearing period, I had to take my mum to A&E, and I haven't been to a hospital, like, or anything. I felt like a complete duck out of water. I was like, God, what am I doing in here? And we walked in. And it was so, it didn't even offer us a mask. And I suddenly looked around. I was like, everyone is wearing a mask, but they didn't even offer me and my mum one. It was so weird. I was like, am I in my own little
Yeah.
bubble? And this
Yeah.
doesn't, it was very weird.
Yeah.
But that was a eye-opening experience, actually, just seeing the depressive, like, I thought this is like some dystopia. If there was people in stretchers in the corridors. There was people lining up their Burger King. That's all the food there was. There was the news playing in the foyer, like next to this fast food place with the horrible fluorescent lights. And I thought, when you're so aware of how messed up this is. And I thought, this is people's like norm. I'm not judging anyone because I've been there in the past, but I thought this is just so fucked up on so many levels.
Yeah.
How do we even start to unravel this? And that's a big, so I don't expect you to answer that question.
I feel like it is unraveling. I do have a strong, I think that was another reason that I just started to have a lot more hope. It's like, oh, I can feel that. I went to a lot of the protests and see the amount of people that are actually aware and people that are on the periphery. And so, yeah, anyway.
I think, yeah, people are waking up, but just I don't kind of, my community now is like-minded people. So it was just a bit of a shock when I went to that. I was like, what is this? You know,
yeah.
I haven't like stepped into that. I felt like I'd literally stepped into some alternative reality.
It is an alternative reality, literally. Like if we're thinking of the quantum field and what we attract, like we are able to create our own reality through our thoughts and our behaviors. And they are literally, people are creating their own reality. But I do talk about that this a lot as well. Like, you know, we talk about lifestyle choice, and I don't think it's really the right thing to say for a lot of people that they're making a choice because they actually don't have the knowledge. And I think that's where people, you know, who are further along in their journey, you know, doing the teaching, like that's where they're coming, we are coming in and making hopefully a difference, is by giving people the knowledge to make a genuine choice, because so many people just aren't even aware because the system doesn't make them aware. And that's, you know, the one of the goals of the system, that they're not aware. So yeah, I don't want to say like they're creating their reality, even though they are, but it's not through choice. So, you know, you've said you feel like passionately about supporting people to take control of their own health, because it then has this knock-on effect. And I refer to that, and I'm sure you do as well, you've heard of it, but the wheel of life, or the circle of life. What happens when someone starts to create conscious change in one area of their life, it has this knock-on effect around the circle. And, you know, as you become, like for me, I feel like with nutrition, like, and you start to like create detox in the body and clear out the sludge, essentially, and you feel more alive, you can't help but then sort of start to be more aware of other areas of your life, like your relationships, like your work, because it's like the numbness is taken out of you, and everything just starts to become like it visible, right? So I think doing the work to support people with one area of their wheel of life or circle of life, it has such a huge impact to help them then move on and make, yeah, really informed choices in all areas of their lives. So, and change their reality in turn, because that's what happens.
Definitely. And right, so there's so much I want to explore. I'm interested to just, one thing you said in the middle of your journey was this accidental, you got into essential oils, you know, you actually were horrified by network marketing. Can you tell us, share a little bit about that before we get into where things are now, perhaps, because it might help people, you know, realize the stepping stones they can make as well to transform their life.
Yeah, so I had, my dad had actually tried to get me into a network marketing company, bizarrely. He wasn't in it himself, but he met someone at a networking meeting he was at. He does computer software, and he recognized in her what he recognized in me, which I suppose was my ambition and, you know, yeah, her relationship skills, because it's definitely something that's very strong in me, is relationship skills. And so he came to me and he said, you should do this. And I'm like, I don't wear makeup. So it was makeup. I don't wear makeup. How am I going to sell makeup? No. And I had this vision of me like going door to door around my village or to my friends and my family, which is what I think people think, you know, when they think of this business, you've got to harass the people in your life. And I was like, no way. Like, I can't do anything well. And I can't do anything with like being able to get a good night's sleep unless it's authentic and has integrity. And then someone tried to get me into the aloe vera company, which I'm sure people will know what that is. And I looked at the ingredients in the products and I was like, no, like I wouldn't use them myself. Like, no way. I wouldn't put them anywhere near me. So, you know, and the whole thing, like every experience I'd had with it had always felt like gross, ultimately, in every regard. And so when I one of the ladies that had done one of my programs in 2015, my cleanses, my online programs, she contacted me and told me about these essential oils she was using, but didn't mention the business model, because honestly, I would have just shut her down immediately. I wouldn't have even replied. I didn't even think I wanted her oils because I thought I used really good quality essential oils. But, you know, she very gently persisted with me. And eventually I agreed to host a class in my village in Leicestershire the following spring, so 2016. And I the reason that I wanted to do that was because I liked the idea of bringing my community together. There were 30 of us in total. I made really lovely food. I thought she was just coming to teach about essential oils. So it was education for them. And it wasn't until the end, because I wasn't really listening, you know, I was making cups of tea and serving food. And it wasn't until the end in the car park where she said, you know, 15 people want to buy a kit, you should do this business. I was like, what have I invited people to? Like, I was mortified, like literally mortified. But my mom had been there and she's not at all alternatively minded. And she had actually listened to the whole thing. And she said to me, Rochelle, I actually really think these oils are pretty amazing. And I think that they would really fit with your way of thinking. And so I do consider myself open-minded. I actually do have an open head when it comes to my human design. And I am open-minded. And so I said, okay, what I'll do is I'll spend some time really looking into the business, into the company, and the ethics of the company, because I had a real fear that the brand that I'd already built up could be damaged if I connected with this company. Anyway, I really dove into it. You know, I did a history degree. I studied at the London School of Economics and studied history. And, you know, I love to deeply analyze. It's a big part of my personality. And so I dove really deep into it. And I had a feeling. So also in human design, for those who follow human design, I have a sacral authority. And I've been really good all my life without knowing that I had this sacral authority in human design at listening to it. Like if I have a gut feeling, I go with it. Like I trust myself. And I had a good feeling after my research. And so I started to share the oils with no kind of feeling of, you know, I was going to build a big business. But within 8 months, I had one of the largest growing businesses in Europe, if not the largest at that time. And like I said, within 16 months, my husband was able to leave his job. But I still, for a long time, had a block around the fact that it was network marketing in terms of talking to people about it. And I do find it's interesting how life is a mirror for you. And so, of course, I had a lot of people who would come at me like, oh my goodness, this is an MLM, this is network marketing. And to start with, you know, for a good while, I would question myself, like, yeah, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? But now I actually, well, first of all, I don't get that kind of backlash because it's no longer something within me as a block. But if anyone does want to talk to me about it, you know, I point out to people that the only pyramid schemes that really exist are large corporations, where you have a CEO that sits at the top of a company. And then taking the example of a large supermarket, you have the cashiers that sit, you know, checking people's food through the tills, who will never be the CEO of the company. And in fact, mean nothing to the CEO of the company. They are literally just a means to an end. And, you know, maybe there are some good CEOs out there, but by and large, their priority is the shareholders and helping them make money. And I know this, you know, actually, I worked in the tax department at PwC, but my role was actually in executive remuneration, which was making rich men richer. Like I worked on the share schemes, I worked at in like the benchmarking of their salaries. And, you know, the goal was really about, yeah, literally making rich men richer. That's how society functions. That's how society works. And within this model, you are the owner of your own business. You are the master of your own destiny. You are not held back by the person above you, below you, beside you. You can surpass everyone in your organization. And it is all down to your work. One of the things that I realized actually through, I would always have considered myself a liberal, like that was what I would have considered myself. But I was listening to this really great, like, short clip a couple of years ago talking about the difference between the left and the right in politics. And, you know, I think we see over and over again in today's society, people latch on to a cause as a way to make themselves feel virtuous. And again, not blaming them, because it's like how society is set up for this divide, you know, the divide between the two sides. But actually, all it does is it distracts us from taking responsibility for our own lives. If everyone, and this is the theory of the right in its purest form, right principles of politics, I'm not saying that I'm an extreme rightist, I'm not, but what I do, in fact, I'm not political at all, but what I do believe in and have always believed in is that we are responsible for our own lives and we are responsible for being good people ourselves first and foremost. And, you know, there is within this business model, there is a real, yeah, that there is a real kind of model that allows those people who do take responsibility for their own lives and take control of their own and desire of their own sovereignty and freedom and, you know, work for it. And I'm going to unpack that word in a little bit because I want to, because I don't want people to kind of associate it necessarily with the masculine kind of exhaustion of the word work, but they dedicate themselves to it. They can make this kind of business as much or as little as they want it to be without constraint by anyone else. But where the beauty lies is they are held in a community of other people who want to see them succeed. And it's, you know, one of the things that people can say is, oh, but you're making money because the product costs more because you need to be paid. Like, that's something I've heard a lot. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I need to be paid. Okay. Who's got something wrong with them there? Me or you thinking that it's wrong that I would make money? Like, because people have such hang-ups around like money and people making money. But also, really importantly, if a product that is of the kind that we're working with in Healy, let's use that as the example here, was on a shop shelf, it wouldn't be bought by anyone unless the company spent literally millions or billions on advertising, marketing, sales force, shop space. Like, we only have to think of the example of Apple and what they have to do or had to do to build their brand and continue to do to build their brand to understand how much money is spent on promoting a product and the sales force of a product. I mean, think about how much each Apple shop alone costs to, you know, exist. And yet, you know, Healy, in fact, Marcus, who invented Healy, an incredible man, incredible quantum physicist, scientist, he's not a businessman. And he actually originally thought that the practitioners who used the larger machine called a time waver machine, which is the grandma of Healy, would sell the Healys. That was his original plan. And they didn't do a very good job of it, because that's not, you know, first of all, they had the feeling, well, why would people come and see me for the time waver if I'm sending them home with a Healy? But also, you know, they're not good at selling. They're there as a practitioner. And so then he got the advice, like, the best way to do this, the best way to get your product into the world is to put it in the hands of people who love it and compensate them for sharing it. And that's what this is. You know, it's putting it in the hands of people that buy it because they want it for themselves, just as you did, you know, for their health, for their family, for supporting their clients, but then have the ability to share it and be compensated and allow themselves to have more freedom, more sovereignty in their lives as a result. And for me, you know, there is very few ways that are better to have a business and build an income. When you actually come down to it, it's an incredibly, like I said earlier, beautiful business model. And just to come back quickly to that thing about work, you know, I have, as I think many of us have, exhausted ourselves in the past. And I committed to myself a couple of years ago that I was absolutely going to learn how to access abundance through flow. And it doesn't mean not sitting at your desk, but it does mean not going against yourself to the point of exhaustion. And, you know, following the flow of energy in a way that feels truthful and calming to the nervous system. And that's something that we really work on in our community as well. So, yeah.
And do you know what? Yeah, there's so much to unpack there as well. But I just think, like, from my personal perspective, I didn't get a Healy for a long time because of the business model, because I had those preconceived ideas or beliefs that I hadn't challenged. And it was only when I had a conversation with my then 11-year-old and was saying, oh, I really want this. And actually, I was, you know, was thinking it's actually very reasonably priced for like the bioresonance machines cost tens and tens and thousands of pounds. You can get a Healy for under, depending on which model, for, you know, under 1,000. So yeah, I was talking to her saying, oh, I really want this, but, you know, I'm not sure because of, you know, people make money off of it. People make money off of me buying it. And she went, but mummy, you know, this is a good thing, because if someone that loves it is selling it to you and they make money rather than the business, then isn't that good? And I was like, yes, looking at it through innocent eyes with no, you know, no preconceived beliefs, false beliefs. And I think we all, you know, I was bowled over just by the homeopathy function alone. I talk about this a lot, like just in terms of just the LUAP, as we call it, like being able to scan your information field and see what remedies come up. For that alone, it's worth every penny just for that. But then I'm like, my God, it can do all these other things, which, if I'm completely honest, I'm still getting my head round, you know, all the things it can do. It is literally like mind blowing. And the more I, you know, the aura analysis, the coaching, which I haven't even really used the coaching. And the people say that that's some of the best like functionality. Amazing. To the microcurrents, which until I'd had Dr. Steve on episodes ago, I hadn't actually really been using the microcurrents. I've been using the coil. I'm like, oh my God, there's all these things I'm not doing, and I love it already just for that. And then going into this wonderful community, but it's only been, you know, I still feel, if I'm completely honest, like there's part of me, and it's good actually I'm getting this out there, there's part of me that wants to tell people about how amazing the business side is, because it is truly, can be truly life-changing, like really can be. And then there's part of me that's like, but Lisa, remember how you were so triggered by that. You only bought it, like you had to really get over that. You bought it because of the homeopathy. And if I start talking about that side, will people be overly triggered, or, you know, lose trust in the product? Are we only selling it because of that? And that's not the case at all. Like, just absolutely not the case. So yeah, it is, I still feel slightly conflicted, you know, how sometimes to share the message of not just getting your Healy, you can get all this other stuff too. And in my opinion, it is absolutely not overpriced. You know, when you look at other bioresonance machines or other, like, I know it's not a bioresonance machine, but other, you know, things that can do similar things, just how much they cost.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's, and then, like, what you've set up as well, just when the community, like the learning, the training, and I just think I really lucked out getting it through Claire. I got it through Claire Zarb, and obviously she got it through you, but it doesn't really matter because we're part of the same. You've set up this wonderful space for all of us. Yeah, it's just amazing. Every day I feel like, I just can't believe, like, back in March when I was debating, you know, should I get it or not? Oh, and I just think, oh, it was the best decision I ever made.
And I was hesitant, not because of the business model to start with, but because of, like, really? This little thing does all that stuff? I'm like, I'm not so sure. But
why
again,
did you get yours in the end? Sorry.
When?
Why did you? What made you, like, from what it does, what kind of was the thing that made you think, yeah, you know, I'm going to try it out, or I'm interested in this aspect? Because it probably wasn't the homeopathy, I'm assuming.
No, it wasn't the homeopathy. I mean, I'm very, again, coming back to the freedom piece, like anything that can allow me to be free from the medical system as it exists, like I'm interested in. So it was definitely kind of sparked by that, and like a curiosity around the quantum physics aspect of it as well. But really, I had no clue whether I was going to like it or not, or really what I was getting. And I would just kept getting these kind of nudges. And then it hit me like really strong in August, just last year, which is bizarre to think. So now I have a community of over 1,000 people. But like, I got this nudge in at the end of August, just like, just get it. And it, again, the sacral authority, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning on, I think, the 25th of August. I was like, I said to Josh, I don't know why we were still awake. I could not normally. I said, I'm going to buy the Healy now. And he's like, no, just go to sleep now. I'm like, no, I've got to buy it now. And he's like, you can buy it in the morning. And then I was like, you're always trying to hold me back. Like, anyway, I bought it in the morning. And, you know, I think this is really important. Like, you get 2 weeks to try it. So my, you know, my only real compass is my own body. And so I thought, well, I can, as soon as it arrives, from the point that it arrives, you have 14 days to try it. And on the 14th day, you can tell Healy you don't want it anymore. So you literally have the 14 days to try it. I was like, just buy it and put it on your body and use it and let your body tell you whether it's something that's right for you. And that's what I did. And then by the fifth day, I was like, okay, this isn't going back, because I play with, experiment with microdosing. And I, you know, the way that I feel when I microdose, which is just like incredibly connected, incredibly grounded, very like a lot of clarity. I was feeling that using the Healy within 5 days on a much more kind of subtle level, but like I was feeling it. And it really supported me. I was going through a period where I was struggling with sleep, and not going to sleep, but I was waking up in the night. So I'd fall asleep with the wrist straps on, running balanced sleep program. And people perhaps don't know this, but when you run the Healy with one program, you can press the button and the program stays in there. So you can just press the button again and the same program runs. And so if I woke up in the night, I still had the wrist straps on for the microcurrent, I just pressed the button. And whereas before I was like literally lying awake for like 2 hours, I was asleep again very quickly. So that was all within my 2 week trial period. I'm just like, yeah, I'm not sending this back. And on top of that, like, I'd started to learn about the business and the, you know, how, you know, it's still very young and nobody was doing it in the UK particularly at all, let alone, you know, other parts of Europe. It's reasonably well known in America and Australia and Germany, where it originates. I was just like, I have a feeling about this. Like, I feel like I could create something really beautiful here, and I'm going to do it. And that's what I've started to do. So,
and you certainly did do that. So it's amazing. So now with work, you are doing coaching or the programs? Are you still?
You said not at the moment. So I've kind of dedicated this past year to Healy, to building that and supporting that. But yeah, next year I'm going to be launching some more programs. And I've also recently, just totally randomly, trained to be a color analyst.
Yes, I want to have my colors done. I need to get booked in, because
that is such a passion thing for me. That I was like, I got my colors done in my neighbor's house in the summer, just as a random like village night. She had this lady come to do the colors, and I'm like, this, you know, when you see a woman sit there with the right colors on her, and it's not like everyone can wear red, everyone can wear blue, everyone can wear yellow, but it's the shade, the tint, or the tone that like makes the difference depending on your skin coloring. But when you see them wearing the right color, like their whole body, you could see it, like when I was watching all the women around the room, their like, body changes. They're like, oh wow, yeah, I look good, I feel good. And again, this like empowerment piece, and like women really believing in themselves. Like, I was like, this is fun. Like, I want to do this just for fun. I'm actually trained with Claire, that you bought your Healy off, so we trained together. So we're going to be doing more of that next year as well. But yeah, the goal, yeah, very much with Healy is to just carry on building the community that has started but is still so much in infancy. Like, and there's so much amazing stuff coming from Healy next year, like I know, because corporate have told me. So Yeah.
Exciting time. Very yeah. exciting. Can I ask, one of the things I get asked the most actually about Healy, but also more generally, and something that explored a bit with Doc Steve on a few podcasts, and I know you've spoken about this amongst our sort of internal community, about the quantum entanglement, the quant, like how remote healing happens, because that's where a lot of people are like, sorry, how can this work that I'm not even present and it can work on someone else? And actually, can I just illustrate with a couple of stories? Because someone from my team that bought a Healy for me, and now she actually studied quantum science, and she's not like actively, you know, promoting it, but I said, please, do you mind if I share your story, because it's incredible. So her brother has got Down syndrome, and he's older. He's had this rash for like nearly 20 years, and she said it actually happened, this rash started after her parents had got divorced, and they tried various things but nothing really helped. He just had this rash, and so she ran a remote scan on her brother with the Healy, and all she did was the homeopathy. She did it remotely, she ran the scan on him, top 5 remedies came up, and she vibrated it to him, and his rash went. And she said that he'd had it for 19 years. You know, there was nothing that had been done differently. And one of the remedies that actually came up was Ignatia, which is a remedy all about grief. And it can, you know, can have an affinity to skin as well, but it's a big grief remedy. And she said it started after her parents had got divorced. And she said there were other changes in him as well, you know, positive changes. But that was like a real sort of wow, you know. And is it coincidence or not? But
and has it stayed gone?
Yeah,
I mean, it's amazing. I say what when the scientists talk about this, because you know one of the things I love is like talking to the scientists behind Healy, because they're such geeks. Like they live, they don't live, they work in a castle in Bavaria. And for those who've watched like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, I think of like the scientists who are working on the cars in the like basement in that Bavarian castle. Like that's my vision of them working, but they are like proper nerdy, and they're not like, you know, when they talk to you, they're not trying to like sell you anything. They're just like, yeah, this is how it works. And like, you know, going into all these great details. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying, but like, I have so much trust in what you're saying because I can feel the, you know, the truth behind it. But when I was talking to one of the guys the other day, Martin Whitman, he emphasized how important the connection and the intention and the consciousness is in those scans. And it's no surprise to me that she did that for her brother and it had such a profound effect, because the level of connection and intention behind that would have been so much stronger than, let's say, someone across the world who I don't actually know asked me to scan for them, right? So it's going to work to an extent, but the level to which it works is so dependent on that intention and that connection. So yeah, the entanglement, basically, like from the very small amount I know about quantum physics, like the basis is that there is no space and there is no time. And the scalar waves that are used to do the vibrations through the Blue app work on this principle. I've got it written down somewhere exactly how the scalar waves are described. But if people want to go and research scalar waves, so S-C-A-L-E-R waves, separate word, then you'll be able to read how they work. But yeah, time and you know, especially is a human construct. And space. And so we are, when we're working with the quantum field, like literally everything is one. That statement to me didn't really used to mean that much. Everything is one. I've got a friend of mine, Vanessa, and I feel for her because for so long she's always been saying things like that to me, and I'm like, what do you actually mean? Well, like everything is energy, everything is one, like what are you on about? Like I would really want to try and like understand her. And she never kind of explained it in a way that kind of made sense to me. But quantum physics has made sense of that to me, because truly, you know, everything is one, everything is energy. You know, they broke down the atom to a subatomic level. They found protons, electrons, and neutrons, which are energy. Like that's what atoms are made up of. And matter all around us is made up of atoms, which therefore is energy. And they're constantly like interchanging between each other, becoming energy, matter becoming energy, energy becoming matter. And they can't be destroyed. It can't be destroyed. And I was talking to someone the other day, because I'd learned about it in the summer, but you know, we in our lived form, all that's happening is we've come in from the quantum field. So if we're looking at the field as a straight line, if you're imagining it as if you were looking at a wave, you know, a frequency wave. So you start with a straight line. And when we come into life, all that happened to our human body is all that happens is we just start oscillating at a different frequency. And then when we die, we go back into the field, but we're not destroyed. The energy of us isn't destroyed. And so if that is the case, then all energy, everything is interconnected. So when we're scanning someone distance, especially if we're holding a very strong connection, a very strong intention, we are able to connect energetically and, yeah, scan. And then the vibrations themselves are working through the quantum field once the scan has been done. The accuracy of the scan is determined by our intention. And then the vibration is done through the quantum sensor using the scalar waves. So that's kind of like that at least gives people something hopefully to go off and dive into a little bit more.
And there's a lot of, you know, if you Google, there's a lot of information about the remote sensor and the remote scanning. And I mean, it sounds completely bonkers. You know, I do think you have to, it's one of those things you have to almost do, but it is incredible. Like when I've used it on family, even my dog, when my dog was in, she had heart failure. She was at the vet. It was awful. I had to say goodbye because, you know, it was awful. And they said they were going to try and help save her. And all I could do was think, I was like, I'll just do the Healy on her because I've got nothing else I can do. And it came up with Breath of Life. Now, she had fluid on her lungs, was coughing up loads of fluid. So it was really interesting, came up Breath of Life. And then I also did the Bart Flower scan on her, and it was coming up with Fear of Death. And I was like, oh my God. But I was like running, I was just scanning, you know, sending it back to her. And they were, you know, they said to me that, sorry, there's probably nothing that we can do to help save her. But she pulled through, you know, she's still.
And I had the exact same experience with my dog. Literally, I'd had the Healy for 2 weeks and he got a virus that they told me would kill him because he's not, you know, jib-jabbed. And so they told me that this virus would kill him because he hadn't been, you know, obviously all the fear and guilt being put on me, but they didn't succeed in making me feel guilty. But I definitely had fear of his life. And so I was vibrating to him. They said at least he'll be in for 2 weeks. So I vibrated to him all night. And in the morning I said, you know what? I'm coming to get him because him being in that environment is not going to help him get better. And they said, okay, well, let us tell you how he is at lunchtime. And they said, he's stopped being sick. He's stopped having diarrhea. If you want to come and get him, we recommend not to, but you can. And I did. And literally like the next morning, he was totally back to normal.
That's incredible. What did you scan on him? Did you just run did you see what Healy suggested or did you?
Yeah, no, I actually was mainly scanning the animal programs for him. But yeah, it was really early on for me. So I was just kind of, you know, trying my best. It was like 2 weeks in. I'm like, oh, I'll scan this. I'll scan that. But it felt so, I'd recorded his vibration before he left. Like I put his paw on the Healy. So it did hold his vibration. And again, obviously, like with our pets, we're very connected. So the intention is very strong. So yeah, it was amazing for me. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it is incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, we're even to our dogs, we're similar. You've got the cockapoo, did you say? I've got a like normal, regular cocker spaniel. Yeah, I just find, yeah, everything you're doing, Michelle, just inspirational. And just like, you're homeschooling your kids as well at the minute. How are you managing with that?
Yeah, I mean, again, we did that because the Steiner school was just like crazy in terms of their approach to COVID. I was just like, how is this meant to, you know, be a naturally minded school? Like, it was just so bizarre to me. So again, like, you know, made that choice, took them out. And yeah, best thing we've ever done. We weren't really sure, you know, to start with at that point. Like I said, we were kind of pretty free for time. We had a lot of residual money coming in, and it was, my husband has now actually gone back to work because thinking of that masculine feminine surrendered aspect, it was not good for our relationship for him not to work. So we were literally both at home, and we thought we had to do all this teaching, and we had these 3 hours every morning, and we like got all these programs, and we were sitting there and like, no, sit back down. And you know, we had to uncondition ourselves from the idea of what school and education looked like. And just with time, we just relaxed. And so now we are nearly, we're three years in. And the children, so Caleb is 14. So he does 4 hours a week with four different tutors. So he does maths, English, where he covers literature and language, science, which he focuses on physics because he's become interested in physics from the quantum physics aspect of Healy, interestingly, and Spanish. And he wouldn't start the GCSE curriculum at school until next September, but he's already well through it. Like, he could possibly take some of his exams this summer, which would be 2 years early. And yeah, he's bright, but he's also quite lazy. And he was behind, in inverted commas, because of the original Steiner school they were at was not very good. Like, he was really behind. Like, he wasn't reading until he was 10. He wasn't, you know, he couldn't really write very well. He couldn't tell the time when we started homeschooling. So, you know, just doing the 4 hours a week is, you know, is enough. And then Savannah is nearly 10. She's not as bright. I mean, she is bright, but she's not as into kind of thinking as Caleb is. She's more of a doer. And it's lovely for me to be able to just honor that in her. And she's still so childlike. You know, I see these 10-year-old girls now, like, walking around with like mobile phones and makeup on and like just so obsessed, and even like thinking about boys. You know, Caleb's not even really thinking about girls and he's 14. It's like they're still so childlike because their innocence has been kept by not being within the school system. And one of the things, you know, Savannah, by the way, just for timing, you know, she does 2 to 3 hours a week depending on it. And someone told me that a teacher told me you can get done in an hour with a primary school child, what you can get done in a week with them at school when you home educate, because they're not being distracted, they're not, like, the teacher's not having to help lots of different people, like, you know, they're just getting on and learning and then getting on with life. And the rest of the time, what we're doing is just spending together as a family. Josh's work is very flexible. We spend a lot of time together as a family and we love it. And the social side of things, you know, can be a bit more tricky for Savannah because she is more sociable than Caleb is, but we definitely make it work. And one of the most beautiful aspects for me is their relationship. And what can be more important in life than a strong, solid relationship with your sibling? Like, nothing. And I see how close they are. And that has come through the last 3 years. And, you know, I'm so grateful for that because you can't help but think when you're gone, you know, what are they going to have? And this foundation that they have in their relationship with each other is so powerful. And just quickly, I remember reading a little meme on Instagram a couple of years ago, that most people get up early every morning, get their children up early. Everyone leaves the house exhausted. They go off to do all day something that they hate and then come back home exhausted without any energy to really, truly be connected to each other, go to bed, get up the next day and do the same thing. And that is life. Like,
it is for most people.
It is, but it's not life. It's not living.
No, it's definitely not. Yeah.
It's not living. You know, I think that one of the biggest problems we have in society is how divided the family unit is. Mm. And whether it's orchestrated or not on purpose, it still nonetheless is a product of our society. And if the family unit could again become strong and united, then so many of the world's problems would be solved. Mm. But it requires courage because it really is breaking free from a system that is very tightly wound around so many people. And yeah, I know that we're both here, you and I, to help people go on that journey. So yeah, very, very grateful to know you too.
Oh, thank you, Michelle. And I find, yeah, just on the home ed side, you know, we're much newer to it and still finding our way, and like probably still how you were in the earlier stages and still trying to break free. It's very hard in some ways to break free from that conditioning and that kind of, oh God, am I messing things up? Or, you know, but actually, if you trust, you know, your inner voice, I think that is the thing we have to listen to. And yeah, I just love it. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And how can people connect with you and find out more information about you? What's the best way to get in touch?
So my website is rochellehubbard.com. And then on Instagram, I'm just rochelle.a.hubbard. And they're the main ways, really. So.
And what's coming up? Is there anything you want to share before we depart? We've got our live Q&A coming up on Monday.
Yes.
So get in there quick. Yeah, people want to sign up, I'll put the link in the show notes so you can sign up to that.
Yeah, so that's around the Healy for people who are kind of like you and me. Shouldn't I? Like, I was aware of Healy for a couple of years before I bought it. It's an amazing time to buy it right now because of the offers. So is there anything I want to share? I suppose the main thing that I want people to know is that they are worthy of everything that they desire. And that's a big thing for a lot of people to work through, because we have so much shit that we hold, so many stories that we hold. But that I truly believe that with just taking that first step towards creating a small bit of change, that the knock-on effect, the snowball effect, is that you can truly live the life that you want for yourself and that you are worthy of it.
Totally, totally agree. Oh, lovely words to end on. Thank you so much, Rochelle, for coming on. It's been really lovely to chat to you.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much.